This message was preached by Afan Erichalu during the 2017 New Year Workers Family Retreat with a theme, The Family and Revival, which took place from the 1st to the 4th February at Epkwa Good News Narai High Cost Kaduna. For further inquiry and counsel, please contact Refuge Bookshop, number 19 Mayera Road by Navit Plaza, opposite Zitka Model Schools, Narai High Cost Kaduna. Telephone numbers 0703-456-8035, 0805-8455-719. Email thethreshersteam@yahoo.com. Website www.theplaceofrefuge.org. May God enrich your heart as you listen. Amen.
We know that you have done a lot in this meeting and that you are going to conclude it with much, much. I see you going around in this meeting, great physician, the Balm of Gilead. You are loosening people. You are doing new things every day. Yes, I see you asking somebody, since you don't have a man, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Satan, your day is numbered. Your regime has ended. You have no right against any of God's people. Whatever God has not planted shall be uprooted. We uproot every planting of Satan in your lives. We uproot them in the name of Jesus. Lord, even our families shall receive healing. This year we shall run. We shall fight. We shall go in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, blessed is the man that cometh in the name of the Lord. That incessant back pain that is warning you every time, back pain. Every muscle, every fiber, every tissue, everything in your back, we command tonight the balm of Gilead to soothe and to heal in the name of Jesus. Lord, do what man cannot do. All the doors that have been locked, Lord, you are the son of David that opened a door and no man shuts, and shuts a door and no man opens. Therefore, we command every door that is shut before you to open tonight. Open tonight. Open tonight. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. Your children will go with joy. They will go with gladness. They will go in the name of the Lord. They will do exploits in the course of this year. Through their hands, mighty works shall be done. Through their hands, many shall come into the kingdom this year. We glorify you. We have a father. We are not orphans. All the oppressors that are oppressing our lives, Lord, you will crush them under our feet. In the name of Jesus, we shall build our houses this year. We shall carry our children this year. We shall be a blessing to our generation this year. In the name of Jesus, the smallest among us shall be like 10,000. Lord, you are going to cause every Goliath to fall down this year. In the name of Jesus, you will travel and you will grant journey mercies. Because Jehovah has seen you. That plan of the devil to give you a breast cancer, it has finished. That pain in your breast will say it will not be a breast cancer. In the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit until your work on earth. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit until your walk on earth. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. to his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise shall sing.
Somebody has lost something. You lost something. Either you lost money, you lost business, you lost time. You lost something. You lost a child. I hear God say to you, pursue, recover. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. All the years you lost, pursue, overtake, and recover all. You will recover all in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. The Amalekites, they will not steal our things. They won't steal our children. They won't steal our wives. They won't burn down our cities. We shall recover all this year. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, conclude this meeting for us. Send us forth to go and conquer, to go and do exploits, to go and possess our possessions. We worship you. Do beyond what a man can ask or think. Let 2017 become the year of the turning point, the year of the new beginning, the year of recovery, the year of no more struggles. For our warfare is over. Your warfare is over. Your warfare has ended. This is your year of no more sweating. What you could not do before, you are going to do effortlessly. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we prayed. Sit down. God bless you. Hallelujah. A bigger hallelujah. I just wanted us to worship God tonight. Take a couple of testimonies because I'm encouraged that God is working. God is doing marvelous things. Yet I will still give you a final instruction. The family and revival. There is no revival without a man. It's as God revives you that revival comes to others. Unless you catch fire, nobody around you catches fire. Everything is cold. But when you catch fire, everything catches fire around you. But the first person to catch fire should be your wife, should be your husband, should be your children, your family, before you go outside. Otherwise, it will not work. If you leave your family and go outside, you will come back, you meet a fire extinguisher. So the only reasonable thing to do is to take the due order. Myself, my family, then outside. It will be wonderful if our families are revived. It will mean we have a concrete revival that the devil cannot quench. But when we don't appropriate God's provision, then we are in trouble. We will not be able to go far. When we come back, fire will quench. When there's no altar at home, fire will quench. And we keep going backward and forward. But from this meeting, as God has spoken to us, and as we are ready to obey the word of God, I see that God is going to move us many, many, many kilometers far this year in the name of Jesus. That revival we've been praying for a long time, that there shall be an awakening in the name of Jesus. So tonight, let me read my passage again. We have read one passage every night. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I'll read that, and I'll read two small passages, and then I will end. God has done wonderful things amidst us, and those things that he has done shall be permanent. They shall be permanent in the name of Jesus Christ. The Egyptians you see today, you will see them no more. The Lord is already fighting for you. He will hold your peace, and he will do the work for you. Because he loves you and because he wants you to succeed, he will not leave you in the hand of the enemy. Let your garments be always white, Let your head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity. Verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with what? All thy might. For there is no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So we have come to verse 10 tonight. You can see that your testimony is critical. Your testimony is crucial. Please, from now onwards, let your garment be always white, so that your head will lack no oil. Abhor sin. Hate sin. Because he loved righteousness and hated wickedness. What did the Bible say? Therefore, God has what? Why did God anoint him with oil above his fellows? Because he loved righteousness and did what? That is why his head was full of oil, without measure. If you also love righteousness and hate wickedness, your head shall never lack oil. As you go from this meeting, remember that hatred for wickedness and love for righteousness is the because or the reason why a man's head will never lack oil. So you go in the name of the Lord, and let you never be dry again in Jesus' name. Then live joyfully with the wife God has given you all the days of the life of your man. Live joyfully. Live a happy life. Don't entertain any unhappiness. Don't entertain any foolishness again. As you go from this meeting, don't agree with the devil again. Don't allow him to come and mess up your environment. No. Live happily. Insist on being joyful with your wife. Live a good life. She's your womb man. She's your favor. She's the good thing God has given you. She's the blessing that God has packaged for you. She's everything that God has meant for your life to increase you and make you large. Don't live small when God meant for you to be big. Marry her. Play with her. Share with her. Pray with her. Let all the altars in your home become operative. Your personal altar, your family altar, your couple's altar. So that when you go to church, then the corporate altar in the community will be effective. Don't agree with the devil to live less than 100% capacity for good. Don't allow the devil to bring one day where your wife didn't talk. Don't allow it. Swallow your pride. Go and beg her. Swallow your pride, sister. Go and beg him. Say, no, that's not why we married. There's a reason for which we married. So that you can do whatever God has ordained for you to do with all your heart. This year there are going to be opportunities. Whatever your hands find to do means as God creates opportunities, as God opens doors, as God shows you what he wants you to do this year, how do you do it? All your might. Don't do it half-heartedly. As long as your garment is white, your head is full of oil, and you are joyful in your home, let me tell you something. Doors will open. Things will happen this year in the name of Jesus. Why you must do it with all your heart, not half-heartedly. Don't witness to somebody half-heartedly. Insist that they must be born again. Preach Jesus like Philip went to Samaria. Ask God to give you strategic souls. That's what we learned in the morning. When you go to a village, ask for the chief of the village. Ask for reverence. Ask for reverence. Ask God to give you reverence. That if you win a reverence, well, we say a great company of priests, they were obedient to the faith. Pray crucial, critical prayers this year. Let everybody you meet pray to them, but there are some people that they make a difference. Ask God for such souls. Are you hearing me? Ask God for the principal of your school. When he gets born again, they will be doing discipleship as a normal course in the curriculum. Paul was opposing the church, killing Christians, doing many, many things. I think those brothers went and prayed, and God caught him. And that God will kill somebody or God will catch somebody. He killed Herod. I hope you know God killed Herod. Herod was going to kill Peter on Easter Sunday. He killed, Brother James was killed. Nobody prayed. They were laughing. Then when they put Peter in prison, they said, we are laughed enough. We cannot keep laughing. They went inside and locked up. When God released Peter from prison, he killed Herod. And the gospel spread. When he collected Paul, he said, I won't kill you because your conscience is clear. You are doing this thing not because you mean to. You didn't know what you are doing. He collected him. And God can arrest people this year for us. Those of you who come from Satan Kaduna, I want you to take it very seriously. They don't win battle on social media. Many of you like social media. I like it. They win battle on our knees. Hausa Fulani herdsmen, they are flesh. They are not spirits. They are not spirits. They can be collected. They can be curtailed. The man of war is on your side. The man of God, there's nobody that became great who didn't fight battles. Martin Luther fought battles. Zwingli fought battles. Savonarola fought battles. All the men you know in history who turned their generation and brought a revival, they fought battles. There's always adversary. Nehemiah fought battles. There's nobody, if you are thinking it's going to be a walkover, it's a lie. Unless you're not doing anything serious. Don't chicken out. You're not a chicken. You're an ego. Say, I'm an ego. I am not a chicken. Stop chickening out. Let's soar high this year. Our people must not be locked up in bondage. I don't want to be hearing that story every day, that they went to one village and killed people. One day I was coming back from your family will fight battles this year. Huh? I thank God for that. Amen. Battles will be fought this year. If there are no battles, there's no conqueror. You are going to be a mighty conqueror. So, the Bible says, whatever your hands find to do, do it how? Put your heart in it. If you are witnessing, put your heart. If you are carrying souls, put your heart. If you are teaching Bible study, put your heart. Huh? If you are going anywhere to do anything for God, don't do it as if they are pushing you. Do it with zeal, with passion. If you are preaching, don't preach as if there is nothing at stake. Everything is at stake. If you are praying for people, don't pray as if to say you are doubting whether God will work. No! Put your confidence in Him and do it with all your mind. Why? There is no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave where you are going. That all right? There's what? No work in heaven. No project in heaven. No knowledge in heaven. There's no wisdom in heaven. The only thing in heaven is love. Whether there be wisdom, whether there be knowledge, whether there be anything, the greatest of all of them is what? There's nothing there. We won't be able to witness to anybody in heaven. There's no sinner there. So whatever you didn't do here, you will not do there. And your years are going. Please, I want to warn you, I want to beg you this year. You must not mark time. You must move with speed this year. In the name of Jesus. But tonight I want to share with you briefly from Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We will pray together very soon. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9. Are you in Ecclesiastes chapter 4? You just read chapter 9. So go back 3 or 4 chapters. Just turn your Bible back. You will see it there. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 9. Two are what? They are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fail, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. He had not one to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. Or how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. and a threefold cord cannot be what? Be quickly broken. Hallelujah. Before I speak to you, very quickly, this is a very, very I want to do a very quick instruction here. Let me go to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, very quickly. Malachi chapter 3 or chapter 2. Verse 13. I'm not going to preach on this text. I just wanted to show you again the purpose for your home. The reason why God brought two of you together is not to fight. It's not to quarrel. It's not to argue. It's not for contention. It's not for competition. It's to complement. The reason why God brings people together to serve Him is so that they can be much, much more powerful and much more beneficial. This have you done, verse 13. Covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that He regarded not the offering at your hand anymore, or received it with goodwill at your hand. This is the worst case scenario. When a minister, like we saw Joshua on the first day, God does not accept your prayer. God does not accept your offering. God does not accept your sacrifice. You are weeping, you are crying, you are doing motions of ministry, as if you are doing well. But the Bible said, with much crying, but God regarded not your offering anymore. And these are priests that stand between God and men. And the people that they are standing for at the altar, they are unfortunate. They are unfortunate. But God is not listening to your prayer. God does not accept your offering. God does not accept all your sacrifice. You are at the altar, but God does not regard anything you are doing there. Why? You say, why? Because the Lord God has been witness. Between who? Between who? And the wife of your youth, against whom thou hast dealt how? Yet is she thy... Eh? And the wife of thy... Do you see the problem? Why is God not giving you fruit in your ministry? Why is God not confirming your work? Why is God not listening to your prayers? Why are you not seeing progress year after year? You see the problem? God is witness between who? You and the wife of your youth. And you don't need to confuse God. You can confuse pastor. You can confuse me. You can tell lies when you come for counseling. You can't confuse God. He's there. He's always there. If you fear God, after this meeting, you will stop dealing treacherously with your partner. Stop telling him lies. Stop telling her lies. Stop being unfaithful. Stop intimidating yourselves. A person that fears God fears to do what God does not want. Joseph could have slept with Potiphar's wife. There's no place they would have gone, they would have known. But there's one witness. Say, I'm a witness between you. That brother allowed them to take away his shirt. He said, when I came here, I didn't come with shirt. They saw me naked. This one sexual act will ruin my life. He left his shirt in Potiphar's wife's hand and ran away and went to maximum security prison. Yet, God was with him and he prospered because he couldn't do evil because he feared God. Things you do in secret that you think nobody knows, you say, I am witness. And the greatest evil you will do in your life, the greatest evil you will do as a minister is that verse. To deal treacherously with your wife or your husband, yet she is your companion. The other person says she's your partner, your greatest partner, and she's the wife of your covenant. If you know what covenant means, and you go and break it, say after me. Don't say anything else. I take thee as my lawfully wedded wife, as my lawfully wedded wife, to give you all I have, in sickness or in health, in poverty or in riches, to bestow on you all my love, and to have you and love you and nourish you and defend you until death do us part. God said, amen in heaven. You say amen without meaning what you are saying, because your body was very hot. Say, pastor, we have been waiting since morning. Please, let's go outside so that we can go to the hotel. Don't want all this long speech. But God said, amen. They brought the ring. They said, do you see this ring? It's round. There's nowhere it's cut. So this relationship shall be round and smooth. It shall be round and smooth. He said, pastor, go on, go on, go on, go on. He said, bring your hand. Said, yes. Put it, put it, put it. With this ring, I did wed. With this ring, I did wed. To be my wife, my beloved wife, all the days of my life. With this ring, you signed it. After 2 days, you slap her. God said, I was witness. Between you and your partner and the wife of your covenant. And sometimes when you slap her, she push you. Say, you think I'm a baby? Oh yeah? Let's face ourselves. She's your partner. She's your helper. She's your favor. She's the wife of your covenant. And God hates covenant breakers. You say, I hate divorce. I just want to show you this. In case you are treacherous. In case you are practicing treachery. I don't know what kind of treachery. Secret things that nobody knows. Because you don't fear God. That's why many people don't make, many pastors, their congregation is never increasing. Nothing is happening. They are becoming beggars, passing paper around. Who will give us so much every month? Who will do this every month? All Gehazi pastors, pushing letters everywhere. I hope you're not like that. Because making God to look as if God is a beggar. Because nothing is working for you. And this is where the problem is. Verse 15 says, and did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore did he make one? Why did he make one? Let's read together. That he might what? You're not saying it again. That he might seek what? Therefore take heed to your spirit. And let none drift treacherously against the wife of his youth. Against the husband of his covenant. Because God is looking for what? Why did God bring two of you together? Because God is interested. God has a purpose. What is he looking for? Something good. First and foremost, godly children. And I want to challenge all of us who are here tonight. Your first ministry is to your children if you are married. And God has given you children. That's your first ministry. If you fail there, you fail everywhere. Godly offspring. But beyond children, God expects there's a spring in your house, whether you like it or not. And that spring is bringing forth things, whether good or bad. He expects goodly things to spring. That when people come to your house and spend one night, there was a man that said, we'll never marry. John Wesley's colleague in those days. He said he will never marry. Jonathan. He's not Jonathan. What's his name again? Whitefield. Whitefield said, if I marry, women will waste my life. Very zealous, awesome brother. Whitefield, George Whitefield. One day he went to America and went into the house of a man they called Jonathan Edwards. His wife's name is Sarah. She has 17 children. After he woke up in the morning, the first he was saying when he woke up in the morning is, Lord, give me my own wife. Something sprang out of that house. A godly thing sprang out of that house. He said, Lord, I need my own now. Oh, Sarah was a great woman. Jonathan was a prayerful man. They had a great team. Out of their loins, for five generations, nobody was useless. out of their loin had an American vice president. They had many university vice chancellors, whether from their female children or their male children. All the people they produced for five generations, they were men of note. These are people that changed the world, brought genuine revival. That was the man that prayed that message. God, sinners in the hand of an angry God. Men that will do prayer walk in the bush for hours, just trekking and praying. Men that had deep communion with God, had wonderful families, and they did much for God in their time. Friend, he's looking for something from you. This year, godly things are going to spring out of your family. Your children are included. I have not dealt with that this time, but they are part of this revival. We must get back now, and because this is the matter. I'm looking for something from you. That's why I brought two of you. That's why I made two of you to become one. There is something I seek. I desire. There is something I want to come out. Several children in this meeting, they are unfortunate because of the family where they came out of. Just because of their family, they are unfortunate. Some of them have never known any peace since they were born. Some of them are afraid to go back to their father's house. If you ask them, they will tell you. I've met many of them on the campus, weeping every day. One of them told me, he said, I've never seen joy since I was born. My father and my mother, they are cat and dog. There's no peace in the house. My brothers and sisters are scattered everywhere. They can't come home. I said, but what kind of life is that? Why do you put people's life in jeopardy? When you sleep in two different rooms in your house, daddy's room, mommy's room, you think there's nothing wrong with it. That's a discipleship you are doing for your children. And they say, daddy's room, mommy's room. You are doing something very big. You are making big statements. You are leaving behind a legacy. Be careful about what you do. But tonight, we cannot say everything at the same time. But I thought I should show you this. That there's a reason for marriage. It's not first and foremost to have a sex partner to enjoy yourself. You'll be tired. It's first and foremost because God is looking for something from two of you. And you can't produce because this lady, this woman, is packaged. Packaged. Everything you need to be successful is with her. So let's get back. You must pay attention to your home this year. That is the first revival. That is the first church. That is the first place of victory in battles. And once you succeed here, everything outside becomes simple. Hallelujah. Will you succeed? No, I'm not that kind of person. You will succeed, amen, Jesus. No, I don't like to say that kind of thing because you will not succeed if you don't follow God. When I go, they say they're making proclamation, they are making prophetic utterance. For me, it's useless. If you don't want to obey God, let me tell you one prophetic word. Prophecy. There's no rest for the wicked. That's a prophetic utterance. Huh? That's a prophecy. See, when I come out to me, that yeah, today we're going to do a prophetic meeting. Prophetic meeting. I say, what is prophetic meeting? When there's a Bible. Which prophecy is more than Bible? I'm asking you a question. Which prophecy is more than Bible? Say, we are going to do proclamation. Say after me, I will succeed. I will succeed. I will floor my enemy. I will floor my... Those that say I will not build house, they will come to the opening of my house. Those things are good. But if you are a wicked man, you are going to build a house for others to live inside. You will plant for others to harvest. If you take other people's wife, other people will bow on top of your own wife. That's what the prophecy says. But they will not say that one. They will not tell you that, yes, I'm being young and now I'm old. Say, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaking or the children begging for bread. Correct prophecy. But blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They will say that one. But this is a total, complete prophecy. Are you hearing me tonight? Huh? You will prosper and be in health. You say, amen. I have not finished. You see, that's the problem with some of you. You will prosper and be in health, even as your soul. So I don't like you to be saying half of the prophecy. God is going to help all of us this year. We shall do tremendous things for God this year. Eh? In the name of Jesus. God looking for something. That's why he said, I hate divorce. Because once there is divorce, nothing good will spring out of your house. Nothing good. Nothing. When you don't talk together, you don't eat all the food on the table, you don't sleep together, you are quarreling every time. Even if you think you are praying, you are covering the altar with tears. The reason why I don't want to quarrel with my wife, Lila, is because I know that my prayer will not be answered. And if my prayer is not answered, I become a miserable man. If I cannot go to God, he said, who will stand before the holy hill? Those that have clean hands and what? And since I have known these Bible verses, you don't need to tell me about it. I can't quarrel with you. There's nothing that tie me and you that will make us quarrel. For what? What will you do to me to make me to miss God? Huh? What is it that will make me to miss God? Carry all the goods in the world and go. They are not important. Abraham discovered that there's no need to quarrel with Lot. He said, Lot, carry go. What is it, my friend? Jesus had only one fear in his life. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. That was his fear. Just a few minutes of separation between him and God was what he cried for. He said he cried with tears and groans. Because he didn't want, when he's saying in Gethsemane, Father, forgive them. Father, if this cup will not pass over me, let your will be done. What he was saying, Lord, it's not that he's fearing pain. He's fearing that him and his father will separate. That's what his fear was. See, he cried with tears and groans because he didn't want any separation. But you can quarrel with your wife for 3 days. Say, what is? Get away! I'm going to heaven, whether you like it or not. I'm the living proof. You see, you are very foolish. Extremely very foolish. How can you say whether you like it or not? I don't care how you feel. Crocodile tears. Cry, if you like. How can you say that? You don't like to go to God again. You don't fear to miss God. Because you don't need God. Me, I need God. I can't quarrel with you because I need God. I need to be praying every. I need access. If they close that access to heaven, I am finished. If they close the tap, the door to heaven for me, I will not exist. I would prefer to die than to have that door closed. He hates divorce. Don't go and be doing what God says he hates. Is that all right? All of you must no longer live by your feelings. Look, we are going somewhere. Actually, why God gave you a wife is to push you from behind. Your wife is not supposed to stand against you. And you're looking at her, she's looking at you. She's supposed to be at your back, pushing you, so that you can reach where you're going. He came to help you. She's your partner. She's your companion. She's the wife of your covenant. That's what she came for. Whether she's young or old, that's not the matter. Whether she's fat or lean, is not the issue. This, I thought I should show you. The reason why many people cannot have their prayers answered, the reason why many people are not making progress year after year, the reason why people are covering the altar with tears, and God says, sorry, I can't answer your prayer. I don't accept your offering. Your sacrifice is useless. You preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach, nothing happens. It's because there's no harmony at home. Sometimes your wife is praying serious prayer against you. Sometimes you are the one praying against your wife. You have never held hands. I say, Lord, give us this mountain. Give us this brethren. Not for ease, not for worldly pleasure. Not for fame. Not that we're looking for anything from them, but because of the kingdom. Help us to see progress. We want to succeed.
Hallelujah.
So finally, as I end up tonight, few instructions like we read in Ecclesiastes, and I shall ask you to go in peace and go and do wonderful things this year. By the time we come back for workers' retreat next year, I want to come back here with testimonies. Huh? Starting from your home. A revived home, a revived life. No garment always white. Always white. Head that lacks no oil. Joyful homes. Revival everywhere around you. And you are coming here next year with the souls you are going to bring from everywhere. Bring your souls. Bring them. Let them come. Come and say, these are the souls that came out of my life this year. This is the increase of God over my life this year.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Two are better than one. Final. No addition, no subtraction. A statement of finality. What is the statement of finality? Huh? Say it loud now. There is nothing to add to that statement. Two are always better than one. What two can produce is far more than each of them can produce and added together. Two are better than one. A team is always more important than one person. A partnership will produce more. That's why we are beginning to study laboring together, serving together. You must begin to appreciate what God has provided for you. You cannot do everything by yourself. You cannot. You won't succeed alone. It is not good for the man to be what? Two are better than what? In every ramification of life. Once two people can unite, if there are two single people and they begin to quarrel, it's worse. But once they can move together, they will do exploits. They will do wonders. They will touch lives. Two that agree what they can do, eyes have not seen it yet. So the Bible says two are better than one. Why? Because they have a good reward for their what? Because of labor. That's why two are better than one. You didn't marry your wife for contention. She came to compliment you. Two are better than one. I'm begging you since I came on Wednesday, I've been begging you. Let's stop this quarrel. Let's perish it. Let's beg ourselves. Life is going. Some of us have become really injured. Injured deeply. Because since we married, we never agreed. We never agreed. We never agreed together. We never saw the same thing. Of course, it may not be your fault. That's why we are beginning to be very careful about the young people who are not married. We don't joke with them again. But even then, it's not too late. Let me say it again. You will not succeed alone. You will not make it alone. Your womb is somewhere else. It's not inside you. You can't produce without a wife. Without your wife. You can produce something without a wife, but you can't produce much. Go back again. Two are better than one. Why? They have a good reward. For what? And brother, there's a reward. There's a reward at the judgment seat. There's even a reward here today. There is a reward. You can't serve God in vain. He said, God didn't ask us to serve him in vain. No! I'm enjoying my life. I'm having a good time. Yes. You can see that I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying life. Serving God is the greatest thing anybody can do. And you don't have to resign your job to serve God. That one is even a calling. And nowadays, you may even need your job to serve him very well. So you're not talking about doing like me, going to resign your job. No, you don't have to do that. Except God is saying, you cannot serve me and do something else. And that thing is also a time. But no matter your status, even though I will say to you, I don't know what I should say, but I say to you that if your master, your earthly master, is beginning to exact upon you, if you are doing a work and that work is beginning to kill you, leave it. Huh? You didn't hear what I said? If you are doing any work and that work is trying to kill you, what do I say you should do? Leave it. If your earthly master, all of us are servants, and your master is very, 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 very tough and difficult, and he's trying to take all your time in your life and to shake you like wheat. Say Peter, Jesus said to Peter, Satan desires to shift you like wheat and leave you like chaff, nothing in your life. Some people are like that. They want to finish your life. You are breaking down. You are coming under stress. Things are not going well for you. You are just suffering every day. Can I inform you? Please leave that work. It's not important. God can give you a better one. Are you hearing me? But if you can do your work and you still and you can use it to live and serve God, go ahead. When the time comes, God, nobody will tell you. But it is because there's a reward. Hallelujah. Eh? There's what? Don't come down from where you are standing. Nehemiah said, I will never what? I will not come down. And do a great work. Don't push me down. Don't tell me, let me go and be telling stories. I will not come down from my consecration. I will not come down from where I've reached. Don't come down. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Because of a reward that God is getting ready for you. Not in heaven. Heaven is the ultimate. At the judgment seat of Christ, we shall receive a reward for everything we did here. Everybody you gave cover, there's a reward. Everybody you preached and said good morning to, there's a reward. Everybody you encouraged on this earth, there is a reward. Everybody you showed love and served, there's a reward. Everything you did in the flesh, every opportunity you missed, there's no reward. In fact, there's a judgment seat. So there's a reward. And look at the reward here. Look at the reward. It's not all, but look at a few of the gain you will get by being two. Verse 10 says, for if they fall, what happens? The one will do what? But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. He had not another to lead him. If they fall, friend, not if he falls, if they fall. Is it possible to fall? Eh? It's very easy. Yesterday I fell down here. I didn't know that there was something that I just turned. I just fell down. Accident occurs every time. And the people that helped me to pull me up, all of them just came around and they helped me and they pulled me up. If there was nobody and I fell down, eh? Sometimes you just fall, just where you will lie down. Some of us can fall into ill health. Don't want you to say, I can never fall sick, I can never fall sick, I can never be poor. Then God will put you into sickness so that you will know that you cannot say, I cannot. You are not God. A man can fall into sickness. Spurgeon's wife was sick throughout her life. John Newton's wife was sick. Top lady, I think that was a blind girl who wrote many hymns. Some of them were not strong. They fell. But once you have somebody with you, wonderful, you can't become useless. Eh? Some men, they push their wife on a wheelchair throughout their lives. Some women, that's what they did through their lives. And God has a great reward for them in heaven. If they fall, it is possible. Are you hearing me? One of the greatest roles a woman plays for the husband is to be on her knees for the husband. Because there is temptation everywhere you are going. And the woman is on her knees, begging God day and night. Say, Lord, shield my husband. Lord, deliver my husband. Lord, save my husband. She's the one pulling you up. Stop boasting. If they remove her prayer, there's no lifting up for you. If they fall, but woe to him that is alone Let me tell you something you don't know. A pastor can fall into adultery. Huh? Huh? I just had a testimony. One brother said, one lady just came into our office. He said, I came to deal with you. Ah, she began to remove her dress. I said, Pastor, what did you do? He said, I said, pleading blood of Jesus. I said, you made a mistake. Run through the window first. I would say flee. Didn't say pray. Say flee. Break the anything that is in that window. Break, just go out first. We can bind demon from outside. It still works. When you see a little girl that has a demon, a big giant cannot control it when it happens. And because the devil doesn't want anybody that preaches truth, he has released a lot of demon-possessed ladies now, the Moabitish women. You see, when they couldn't curse Israel, the prophet, the false prophet Balaam, he said, look, there's no divination against Israel. There's no enchantment. There's nothing you can do. He said, but let me advertise you. That's advice. Just release those girls. What you couldn't achieve by cursing them is very simple. They just got some freshly perfumed Moabitish girls with very short skirts. You see, Zimri, you know Zimri? He's a big brother, Zimri, who was a preacher. Say what? And they were bringing their flyers and invitation cards. Say, come to our Christmas. And those boys were taking those flyers and they're looking at the wonderful posters. You see, they are going to have a wonderful concert, musical concert. The more is there. This one is there. They say, let's go and check. That's how some of them died. If they fall. I will not speak much on this. But the benefits of being together is so great. In fact, before anybody falls, the partner will know that something is wrong. If they fall and they can't get up in the morning again, do quiet time because of stress, is the word that says, Daddy, do you know the time? Please wake up. You have not been doing quiet time for some time. Well, it's God that you now sleep too much. Get up. Because there's somebody near next to him. But if there's nobody there, you go from bad to worse. Eh? My sister, don't be annoyed. I know you're annoyed this night. Because last time when you tried to wake up your husband, get out! Idiot. Chikaya. I don't know why I'm so unfortunate. So the next time she wanted to wake you up, she came near you. Father, please help me. Father. I don't know what I will hear today. So you have lost. Nobody's beside you again. Your wife cannot wake you up again. Your husband cannot wake you up again. Because of your reaction. They have become very cautious. Nobody can correct you. Nobody can tell you the truth. Let's get back now. These are the benefits, the great blessings that God has provided by making you two. If they fall, and they can fall into sickness, they can fall into sin, they can fall into shame and reproach. They can fall into problem in the hand of the brethren. They can. He didn't say he. Once one person falls, two of you are falling. And one can raise up the other. It's a great ministry. Sometimes every brother is against you. Every brother is against you. They don't understand what you are doing. It's only one person that is not against you. Who is that person? Your wife. It's the one that prepares pepper soup. Prepares milk, soya milk, with honey inside. Say, my dear, don't worry. Don't worry. It shall be well. I'm standing together with you. When you turn on the bed, you just touch her. You say, Father, I thank you that somebody is still here. And you pick up strength. But when there's nobody like that, so brother, I'd like you to appreciate what God has done for you in this meeting. And I want you to rise up again now and move forward with her. Because you can't go without her. Verse 11 says, verse 10 says, I have read verse 10. Again, if two lie together, what happens? They have heat. How can one be warm alone? How can you be warm, especially during Ramadan, when you are alone? Blanket does not give that warmth. There's a warmth, and that human being gives you that blanket cannot give you. Warm clothing cannot give you. You will need somebody to heat you up. But how can you be warm when you are alone? When you don't agree. So you can see there's so much reward in this journey. If you have somebody who is with you, you are married, you are going together, you know where you are going. Say, he said, again, if two lie together, are you lying together? Then they have heat. Or how can you be warm alone when you are quarreling every day? And you face one side, the person face one side, and you put a pillow in the middle. And cold, you make it. And there's somebody here that has heat. Your teeth is Have you ever seen somebody who's cold and the teeth is knocking? Thank God for Africa. You don't know what you're enjoying here. If you go there, you don't have heater. You are going to die simple, simple. People die there simple. In 1983, in Kaduna here, that Ramadan that came that year, many people just died. Cold can kill you. Huh? I don't know what you will gain by being alone. All of us need encouragement. Are you hearing me tonight? All of us need encouragement. All of us need affirmation. All of us need company. All of us need warmth. The world is too cold. Oh, my friend, the world, even the Christian circles can be very cold. No understanding. Oh, the brethren can actually be very tough sometimes. And you need to get back quickly to warmth. Otherwise, you become desolate. Not somebody to say, it's all right, no problem. Put your hands around you and say, what is it? What is it? Has the world come to an end? Be still and not bring one scripture, you'll be warm again. You can do business and the business will collapse. And I hope your wife will not tell you, Daddy, how many times have I told you that you are not a businessman? How many times have I told you? Leave business alone. Leave it for me. Anytime you do business, haven't you discovered that anytime you do business is zero? We enter debt. And it's me and the children who are suffering. When will you learn not to be stupid again? Last year, this is what you did. You went and bought shoe. They say, container. You went and bought shoe. You went and took all the whole money in the house. You didn't tell me. You went and put it MMM. So where's the M? Where's the MM? It's only M remaining now. MM has gone. They say they are going to come back. They were rejoicing. They say it's no longer MM. It's only M is remaining. MM has finished. Why do you want to get money overnight? Why do you want to get money you didn't work for? Why do you want to multiply gain by lottery? Huh? Why do you want to get money by vanity? Don't you read Bible? Are you a thief? Can't you even know from your heart that if you give somebody 1,000, he give you 1,000,000? That is wrong. Huh? You say, bro, stop that, stop that. Huh? That's how Christians are normally poor. They will live almost then. They will go and make money. Why do you want to be rich overnight? Can't you see the devil when he makes advances at you? Why don't you even take counsel? Well, you didn't tell your wife. You didn't tell your husband. When they took the whole capital, they just gave you 3,000,000. Say, Father, thank you. Then you took all the 3,000,000 again. They gave you 6,000,000. Say, Father, glory be to your name. Take 6,000,000. You went to the bank. Check. Zero. Excuse me. Don't you even have sense to know when to run away? I'd like to pray with you tonight. If you did that thing, please, when others are going, I'd like to pray with you. Number one, let me know how much remain at that point so that we can share it now. You know, we don't learn. We never learn. We never learn. We think that happiness is equal to a bank account. It's not true. I have learned to be abased. I have learned also to do what? And when you have a good wife, she will keep telling you, or you will keep telling her, say, darling, let's not do that. Let's pray first. This money is not our money. It's God's money. Let's not do what we will regret. Let's pray. And if you're a good husband, that's enough for you to have a check. That's a help. But even when you are falling, sister, don't tell your husband, say, I told you. Don't say that. Say, my dear, it's all right. Let's start again. We have been starting again before. Let's start again. That's what you will do. Let's start again. We will start again. Even if this one, we will start again. But brother, let me tell you the truth. Why don't you recognize that you're not a businessman? And allow your wife. What is wrong with allowing your wife? Close your shop. Close your business. Say, my dear, take the money. Do. Since the womb of business is here. This is where the womb of business. The womb is not here. It's here. There are some things you can't do. Recognize that I can't do. Allow the person that God gave the grace to do. Stop struggling. What is the prestige you are looking for? And the family has suffered because of pride. If your wife is very able, like Priscilla and Aquila. If your wife is a Priscilla who is very brilliant, and she is better pastor than you. Your name is Aquila, but sometimes God says, Priscilla in front. Don't worry yourself. You are still the husband. God made you the man. Why are you struggling? Sister, don't go back and tell your husband. He say, why are you struggling? Are you hearing me? Go and pray. Don't go and tell him. They said to us, why? The message of the topic of the message tonight is, why are you struggling? And the man of God said it 7 times. Why are you struggling? Don't go back and tell your husband. Say, why are you? No. Go and pray. Pray it into his life. And prove to him that you will not take advantage of him. What we need is progress. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we going together? If you lie together. If the word you speak from your mouth will encourage the other person, will affirm the other person, We raise up the other person when they are depressed. We help them when they are down. And you can give them warmth. Your home is full of warmth, not a cold atmosphere. Once you step into the house, there's warmth. Daddy, mommy, everybody is happy. There's joy. That's warmth. And the words that come out are seasoned with salt. They build up the other person. You will not fail. I'd like to see you succeed this year. We make mistakes. I can make mistakes. What I expect when I make a mistake is not a hard, cold, you don't do them again. No. I'm expecting it's all right. It's all right. I'm here with you. We're going to pass through this dark path. There is light at the end of the tunnel. It will not be like this forever. You lost your job. I don't want you to go and tell that. Any man that does not provide for his house is an infidel. Such wickedness. You can lose your job. You can fail in that area. You can be sacked in the job. It happens often. Don't say, what are you contributing in this house? I pay school fees. I buy food. You are just sleeping. Since you lost your job, you are just sleeping. Now when I come back at 11 o'clock, yeah. What are you doing? What is yeah? Are you a yeah man? The Lord will help you. Affirm him. Push him up. Give him warmth. And let's go together. Let's see what God will do this year in the name of Jesus. And if one prevail against him, what happens? Two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly what? If I'm alone and somebody come against me, he can push me down. It's possible. One tree cannot make a forest. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand. There are going to be battles, my friend, battles. Don't ever think that the Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and all those kind of things. Therefore, be strong that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. If anybody tells you that there's no trouble, there's no problem, there's no battle, it's a lie. Battles are going to come. Don't fight alone. Are you going with me? This year, even though God is promising us great things, they are not going to come easily. They are going to come out of a battle. Brother, there's going to be battle. Are you hearing me? Eh? Get ready for fight. Don't put off your dress and sleep at night. I'm talking about your spiritual dresses. Be strong. Put on the whole armor of God. Take up your weapons of warfare. They are not carnal. Are you hearing me? Pick those weapons. The blood of Jesus. The word of God. The name of Jesus. All the weapons you can lay hands on. Mighty through God. To the pulling down of what? There are going to be battles. And that is what makes it interesting. I thank God for Satan every day. If he was not there, we would not know who is who. Some of you will just look good. Just say 100%. Because there is no opposition. God created him for a purpose. He's doing his own work. He didn't do your own. He's doing his own. The Bible says he's the attempter. He attempts. If you beat him now, you think he has finished. What happens? He will come in. But you can execute judgment on their kings that is already written. I'd like you to prepare your hands for war. You teach it our hands for war. Huh? Don't allow oil to lack on your head. Saul lost the oil. Eliab, Shammah, Abinadab, and all the sons of David, they couldn't get the oil. God said, I don't like them. I have refused them. Go anoint this small boy, David. So they went to battle. Saul is commander-in-chief of failures. Men that cannot win battle, commander-in-chief of the armed forces. Eliab is commander of army. Shammah is commander of navy. Abinadab is commander of air force. Look at how Goliath is dealing with them every day, because there's no oil on their head. Then a small boy came. Say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who is defying the armies of the living God? The man said, who is that person coming? Am I a dog that they sent this small boy? He said, you are actually a dog. Today I will show you that God does not fight with spear or sword, for the battle is the Lord's. I will give your meat to the carcass of the atmosphere. You will know that you have come against a child of God. Finish. The battle is set in array. If you don't fight, you become a casualty. Huh? You must possess your possession very well this year. Sickness? Never. No. Can't come to your house and carry one child. And you're always going to hospital. Say, devil, sorry. That day has finished. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You can't gather and they come. That day has finished. You didn't know before that the enemy is walking. Now, be sensitive. Hallelujah. If one prevail against him, so if the enemy come against you and does what? And prevail and you fall down. Say, two shall do what? We stand. When you hold yourselves, you become unmovable, unshakable. You become impregnable. Two of you alone. So a team cannot be defeated by the devil. If the devil wants to slaughter you, he will always cause quarrel between you and your wife. Once he can cause quarrel between you and your wife, he can enter your house. Once there is no quarrel, they have not borne the devil that will enter your house. But once he can cause quarrel and quarrel begin, your house is already a mission field for Satan. And he doesn't show mercy. And the Bible says he doesn't listen to begging. He does not release his prisoners when he locks them up. He has come to devour, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And within a short while, what he did to Job, you know what he did to Job in under a few hours? Malignant, very terrible. The only way out, two shall do what? Two of you together, hand to hand, mouth to mouth, together. And a threefold cord. What did the Bible say? No, it cannot. You and your wife and Jesus cannot. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Let me tell you. You and your wife and Jesus, the devil cannot succeed. I'd like to pray with you. You and your wife and Jesus, forget about it. The devil will not succeed. Huh? Huh? The strongest prayer you can ever pray is a prayer of agreement. And I was wondering who will pray a prayer of agreement with you more than your wife that you normally share with, that you are married to. Again, I say unto you, listen, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, what happens? What happens? It shall be done for them of my Father, which is where? For where two or three are gathered together in your name. What happens? I notice that I can fail. I notice that the devil can do a lot of bad things until I hold my wife. I say, let's agree now. That's the end of the devil's trick. If any two of you shall agree on earth, and we are on earth, as touching anything that they shall ask. What a power. It shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, what happens? Whatsoever you shall bind on earth, what happens? Whatever you shall lose on earth, what happens? Brother, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Whenever the devil begins to mess up, I tell my wife, I say, look, let's agree. That's all. Father, this is what you said. We agree that this rubbish must stop in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is there, a threefold cord. And once you finish praying, I go and sleep because I know that it is done. I know that it is already done. There's no magic, there's no hell that can change the word of God. Whatever you refuse, whatever you allow it. Whatever you say no, you say no. Whatever you forbid, I forbid it. It's forbidden. It's a simple matter. The trouble is that, did you agree? That's why you must marry your wife, because it is difficult to find two people who agree. Sometimes we finish praying and say, when we come again, say, we agreed that this thing will happen. But I'm not sure again that you didn't agree. And that's what makes the thing not to work. But if two of you agree and say, concerning this family, Lord, we agree that the devil's work here has finished. We turn this girl's heart around, we turn this boy around. Lord, bind them together. In the name of Jesus. Finish. Go and sleep. And if we keep saying it after that, without doubting whether God will do it or not, for the one that doubts is like a wave of the sea tossed here and there. And let that man not expect that he will receive anything from God. So before you agree, talk first and agree. So that you can keep talking together and say the same thing. Let me tell you, there's no devil that can withstand the prayer of agreement. A threefold cord cannot be broken. Brethren, let me say to you tonight, you are an unbeatable team. Huh? Husband and wife are an unbeatable team. Look. Doesn't matter what is happening to your children, you have not agreed yet. Especially when it concerns your children, whether they are married or whether they are at home, and you agree. Hold hands. Some of you don't want to touch your wife's hand. Hold it very well. Say, Father, pray. Say, Father, even if she's crying, don't worry. Don't like what is happening to us. Lord, please, hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. It's enough. Then you come and say, and come and put the matter in perspective. Lord, you have seen how the enemy has harassed us. You said we and the children that you are giving us are for signs and for wonders. But the devil is trying to make this one not to be a sign and wonder. This one. And because it's going to contradict your word, we forbid it from this night. In the name of Jesus! If your wife doesn't say amen and she's falling asleep, that's the problem. So now he says, in Jesus' name, no answer. Say what? What's happening? If she has gone, you have to wake her up before you start again. But as long as she's alive, and you state, you bring your strong reasons, you state the facts clearly, you cry out with your heart to God. Say, Father, for this reason, because it concerns your glory, and because it contradicts what you have spoken concerning me and my wife and our children, and because this will be a reproach, therefore, together with you, as touching this matter, Lord, we forbid it and we refuse it. And we decree that this thing will not be like this. Let light come upon our path tonight. Lord, this casting down, cause a lifting up from tonight. In the name of... Go and sleep. It is done. It is finished. But many of us cannot pray together. So as I end tonight, the ball is in your court. Is that all right? Two are better than one. For our widows, single parents, separated, as if we neglect you, we don't neglect you. You will succeed in the name of Jesus. All of you widows, let me encourage every woman, please live well. You can be a widow. It's possible. Live well. Live well. Be a disciple. Contribute to the church. Watch the feet of the saints. Live a good Christian life so that when you become a widow, you will not be a loser. The widow is the wife of the church. She can't go alone. Her children are my children. They are our children. They have the support of the brethren. We must love them. If you beat a widow, you will put yourself perpetually under pain because God will beat you. If you cheat a widow, you will kill yourself because you will not succeed. If you maltreat an orphan, now these are people you don't play with them, orphans, widows. Don't joke with them because God is their everything. And the church has a personal responsibility to these ladies to pay the school fees of their children, to support them, to pray for them, to encourage them. That's why you need a wife. Because this is a ministry, you cannot do it alone. Not because of anything that we have, but because of testimony's sake. So, dear sisters and brothers who are separated, who are divorced, who are widows, who are widowers, who are single parents, you are wonderful people. We don't condemn you. It's a mistake you made. Some of us made a mistake. We didn't become single parents. But your own, you did it once. A pregnancy occurred. And you didn't abort it. So God will bless you. That boy will become a champion in your hands. Are you hearing me? Don't be secretive about that boy. Bring him along to the church. I wouldn't speak more than this tonight because other cases are cases of personal counseling. Some of you are too young to become widows. But let me not speak about very young widows tonight. The Lord will bless all of us. Eh? Eh? Yes. Take these instructions. Get back home. If there's any reason to make amendment, please don't hesitate. Don't be afraid to beg. Beg anybody. Beg your junior, beg your wife. Beg your children if you are wrong. Even if you are not wrong, for the sake of peace. Because I am going somewhere. This year, I am not playing. I am not joking. It looks to me like this year is going to become a year of years. I'm thinking this year will not be a common year at all. The way I'm seeing things opening up, we cannot waste it. So go in the name of the Lord. Sister, support your husband. Build your home. Pray much this year. Pray much. God will give you the desires of your heart. They shall be granted. Brother, lead your home. Be the priest. Move this home forward. Leave a legacy for the coming generation. Do your best. Whatever your hands find to touch, do it with how on your mind. Let us pray.